Okay, Yudalim Aralef from the bottom. Bishani de Rabbi Yehuda Nesia.
Sorry. Yeah, I was in the wrong place.
Oh.
Sorry about that, Chief.
Really? Okay. Okay, well, now that you approve, we're going to start from the bottom of Yudalim. We're going to start from the bottom of Yudalim Aralef. Yeah, is it okay to proceed?
Cinema,
okay.
How much were the proceeds, though?
What?
How much were the proceeds?
If we
yes.
How are you, David?
Okay. Do you want to make the? You want to make a round?
Did you enjoy the chassidim?
Yeah, it was Shani the Rebbe Yehuda.
All right, that's 45 seconds of the shir. I'd love to have back. Bishani to Rabbi Yehuda Nasiya. In the years of Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi. Now, this is not the Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi. It's actually not even. Not even his son or his grandson. I think it's a much later generation of Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi's ancestry. But at any rate, as we'll see, because it's really deep into the Amoraic time periods, as we'll soon see. But in the years of Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi, Havatzara, there was a tsar. So it wasn't talking about, it wasn't a lack of rain. It was some other calamity that was befalling Klal Yisrael, and Gozer Tlosses Retanios, and as a result, he was Gozer 13 Tanios, much like we did for the rain. Velo Iani, but he wasn't answered. So what did he do? Savar, he figured, Lemigzer Tvei, he thought that we should be Gozer more. And Amale Rabbi Ami said to him, and Rabbi Ami's an Amora, so it's clearly Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi's deep, deep ancestry, but Rabbi Ami said to him, Hare Yamru, Chazal said, Ein Matrichen Asat Tzibor Yosem Yidai. We do not want to be Mitareach, we don't want to trouble the Tzibor any more than is necessary. So therefore we shouldn't. We should stop after 13 fasts. Am Rabbi Abba, Bred Rabbi Chia Bar Abba, Rabbi Abba, who's the son of his father, which is convenient, right? Don't worry about it. Don't ask these questions. I'm Rabbi Abba, Bred Rabbi Chia Bar Abba. So I'm guessing Rabbi Chia.
Oh, so Abba's the Zaydi, and then Chia, and then Abba.
Right. So I'm guessing that Abba died earlier on,
or they just
fought. Yeah, so Abba's the second Abba is the Zaydi.
Okay. Second Abba is the Zaydi.
And the son. And the first.
Who's up first?
And the first Abba is the son, and no Abba is the Abba.
Exactly. Okay, now that we the people listen to this on tape, they don't know what's going on. Anyway, Abba is the grandfather and he's also the son. Yeah. So but he's anything but the father. At any rate. I'm Rabbi Abba, Brid Rabbi Chiyav Rabba, Rabbi Ami, Da Avid LeGarmehu Da Avid. Why did Rabbi Ami say that we're not going to go there any more fasts? Because we don't want to be Matariach and Sibur Yosmi Dai. He did it for his own sake. He didn't want to fast anymore. So he said, no, he said, you don't do it. But no, it's not true. Elahachi Am Rabbi Chiyav Barabba. Rabbi Chiyav Barabba says, I'm Rabbi Yochanan, and then Rabbi Yochanan, Lo Shanu El LeGashamim. When do we say that we are not gozer any more than 13 fasts? That's for rain. When we have a problem with rain. Aval l'shar mine peronios, but any other punishment that befalls Klal Yisrael. Misanin v'holchin ad sheyanu min ha-shamayim. You keep on going until finally you're answered min ha-shamayim. So Rabbi Ami is wrong. Rabbi Ami is wrong. Tanya nami hachi. We have a braisa to support Rabbi Abba, Breid Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba. The Brisa says, "Kasha amru shalosha, kasha amru sheva." When Chazal said that we fast three, and then seven, lo amru el legashamim. That's only with respect to rain. Avala sharmine peranios misan v'holchen al shiyanu. But for any other suffering, we keep on going. So that's a Brisa. It's a mafurisha Brisa against Rabbi Yami. So the Gemara has the obvious question: Lemit have you to Rabbi Yami? That's a question of Rabbi Yami. Rabbi Yami can't argue with a Brisa. He can't just get up and say willy-nilly that we don't want to be Matariach Litzibor Yosemidai. Hare, it says Mufurish on a Braisa that you can. So what's Rabbi Yami thinking? So Amalach Rabbi Yami. So the Gemara says Rabbi Yami would tell you the following, that it's actually Tanaihi. It's actually a Machlokis Tanoim. Desanya, because we have a Braisa. This is where Rabbi Yami learns this from. He says, Ein Gozrin Yosem Mishloshas Reitanios Al Tzibor. We are not going to be gozer any more than 13 fasts on a tzibor. Now this is talking about during rain, when there's a lack of rain. We're not going to be gozer any more than 13 tanios on a tzibor. Why? So listen to what Rabbi says. L'fisha'ein matrichin esat zibor yosmi dai. Because we don't want to be matariach the tzibur any more than we have to. That's Divrei Rebbe. Rebbe says that's the reason why we don't do any more than 13
kareim.
I didn't finish a brisa. Rav Shimon Gamliel Aymer. Rav Shimon Gamliel says, Lo min hashemuzet. That's not the reason. The reason why we don't do any more than 13 fasts is not because we don't want to be matariach the tzibur. El mipnei yatzas manashel revia. It's because the time of the rain has already passed. Once you've already fasted 13, then you're already well into the rainy season, and it's no longer rainy season anymore. So to ask now to continue to fast and to ask for rain is silly. So we see according to Rav Shimon Gamliel that the reason why we don't fast any more than 13 is because it's no longer rainy season. But according to Rebbe, the reason why... What?
It's not the rainy season, so why do you have rain?
We don't. After 13 fasts, we don't. We're done. For rain, we don't.
Because it came to the summer?
Because why?
Because
yeah, because exactly, because it's already encroached upon the spring season.
Isn't that when the
Tanios are for the winter, right? So we start the Tanios in Cheshvan, Rosh Chodesh Cheshvan, right? So it's Cheshvan and Kislev and Teves essentially is when the 13 fasts are going on. So once you've already hit Shvat, you're already into spring essentially. So it's no longer rainy season, so that's why, according to Rav Shimon Gamliel, we don't do it anymore. But according to Rebbe, the reason why we don't do it anymore is because we don't want to be metareach the tzibur yosumidai. So according to Rebbe's svara, that should apply, whether it's because of rain that you're fasting, or it's because of anything else. So that's where Rabbi Ami got this whole svara from, that we don't want to be matariach the tzibur yosumidai, because even though Rebbe was talking specifically about rain, but his svara applies anywhere else. It applies across the board.
Isn't it logically there's a limited window that you would ask for rain, so you would need to ask for rain versus the times that you do for all the
yes.
issues that could happen would be proportionally more, also over proportionally more time?
Say again, what's your question?
It seems like the window for Tinus for rain is limited. It's like it's 6 months or less than that.
Yeah, it's a few months, yeah.
So to say that we can only handle that many Tinus, it seems like for other things it would be a lot longer period of time. So you're saying that you can only have 13 Tinus on top of whatever we would have in the books over this period of time, or over the course of the year, we can only have 13 plus
30. Over the course of a year, you can't do any more than... What Rebbe is saying is you can't do any more than 13.
So you use them all up on the time.
You use them all... Yeah, I mean, whether you're fasting because of rain or you're fasting for any other reason, once 13 passes, you're done. Mm-hmm. That's the most that the tzibur can tolerate, according to Rebbe. And so Rebbe Ami learns that that's going to happen for any perennials as well. Did you have a question before? I was hoping you'd forget it by now, but I guess not.
What I don't understand about this svara is to say we don't want to be matariach the tzibur any more than we have to. Correct. But the thing is, if you're not getting the rain, we really need it. So
what it means,
we do need it.
Yeah, but what it means is that Yosumidai means any more than Yosumidai is any more than they can handle, essentially. They can't handle it.
Trying to say,
but that's not the way
it's set. Is that? I apologize. Is that a mistake in what the Lashon Kodesh means, or is that a difference in the translation?
The truth is, Yosumidai means more than is necessary, but I don't think it means more than necessary. It means that more than they can handle. That's the loose translation.
Yeah.
Whenever you guys are ready, we can go on.
Until while there, I was thinking of something else. If there was rain in the summer when there's not supposed to be rain, would you ever have a time for that?
No, you never. I asked Rabbi Milinowitz that. You never ask for no rain, for less rain, or for rain to be canceled.
Even at the wrong time when it's supposedly a sakana?
Even at the wrong time, you never ask for no rain.
So what about Choni Magel?
Good question, Choni Magel. We're going to get to it later. It's a good question on Choni Magel. It's the next Choni Magel is going to come up in a few weeks. Yeah, it's a good question. Okay, Choni Magel, we're going to get there. We'll get to Choni HaMagil. You can ask your question then also. Choni HaMagil is a good question. Choni HaMagil, however, if I remember correctly, did not ask for rain to be canceled. He simply asked for rain to be lightened, because it was mamish pouring so hard that it was sakana. Yeah, so that might be the reason why Choni HaMagil. What? It was hurricane season. Anyway, back here.
Yalla.
Shalchu le b'nei Nineveh le Rebbe. The b'nei Nineveh asked Rebbe a question. They said, Kagon Anan. We're in the second wide line. Kagon Anan. Like us, for example, da'afilu b'tkufas tamuz ba'ina mitra, we need rain across the board. Across the entire year, we need rain. So, heichi navid. What do we do in terms of saying the same talumatar? Do we follow the standard nusach and stop the same talumatar at Pesach, or can we keep going because we're a whole land? We desperately need the rain. Ki yechidim daminan. Are we considered like yechidim, like individuals? O kerabim daminan. Or are we considered like a multitude of people? Are we considered like Yechidim, in which case if we need rain we simply ask for it individually at Shomei Tefila? Or can we consider ourselves like a Rabbim where we'd be able to recite the same Talamatar even though it's well past, and Kufas Tammuz is well past Pesach time? So that's their question. Can we say the same Talamatar since a Rabbim really need it? Can we veer from the klal, from the rest of klal Yisrael, essentially? So shalach lahu, he sent to them, ki yechidim damisu. You are considered like yechidim ubashamei atfila, and therefore you must say your request for rain individually at shamei atfila. Meisvei, says the Gemara, I have a question for you. Amar Rabbi Yehuda says, when it comes to Ta'anios, Emasai, when do we have this whole process of Ta'anios, where we fast 3, 3, and 7? That's Bizman Shehashanim Ketiknam. That's when all the years are exactly as they're supposed to be. That the harvest season is in Nisan, and the season for planting is in Cheshvan, and everything is going as usual. What? Yeah. The Yisrael Shuyin Alan Masam and Klal Yisrael are for the most part in Eretz Yisrael. Ava Bizmana Zeba nowadays, Hakolafi Yashanim, since everybody's scattered and everything is all loony with the world.
Alba Bizmana nowadays, I'm sorry.
In his days.
In those days, this is nowadays. Is it talking about geographically or that it was a different day? Because nowadays, today, we have Eretz Yisrael. So it is Yisrael Yishuyin Alan Masam, but it's not Hashem Ketikim. So nowadays, it should be like it was in the old days when things are the way they're supposed to be.
And
you don't
indeed,
get rain in Tammuz.
And indeed it is.
So why does he say both? What's the main thing? Shem Ketiknam, Yisrael Shem Adbasim seem to be totally their opposite qualifications.
Well, Shem Ketiknam is talking about where the seasons match up. Yisrael Shemuel Adbasim is when Klal Yisrael is living in Eretz Yisrael. All right. Or at least a rove majority.
The agricultural conditions in Israel are the same whether most Jews are living here or not. Most Jews
correct. But if most of Klal Yisrael is not living in Eretz Yisrael, then the agricultural system in Eretz Yisrael makes no difference. It's of no consequence.
Because when Israel would here, it was practically barren.
Uh huh.
It's a very hot,
I don't know if that's
the
point it's making.
Zionists could create halachic nowadays that they have most of the Jews in the world living here. I mean, is this
that the issue? You still can't say that because everything.
You don't have rove.
Now we know the Beit Hamikdash. We know most of the Jews.
So here we have. So opposite. Exactly. What I'm saying. It's not Ketiknam, but yet Yisrael Shmuel Ad Masim.
We have rove now. We have rove.
No, but Yisrael Ketiknam. Yisrael Ketiknam Ad Masim. That's why we have. It's not Lefi Hashem.
If I understand correctly,
it is what.
We have nearly half.
Okay.
Nearly.
Anyway, yeah. That's it.
At any rate,
Aval
Bizman Azeh nowadays, Akol Lefi Hashanim, Akol Lefi Hamakom Mitzvah, Akol Lefi Hazman. Nowadays, everything goes according to the year, according to the Makom, according to the Zman, meaning if there's a need, then in fact we can. So just as by Ta'anios, we're not going to follow this system when it of fasting starting Cheshvan Kislev Bechule in the 13 fasts. Just like nowadays, we're not going to do that because it's not dependent on where the Shanim are Tiknam, but rather everything is going to go according to whatever the need is. So too in Birchas Hashanim, everything's going to go according to the need. If there's a need, you do it. So it appears, according to the Braisa, that in fact, since in Nineveh, at least, that Makom, there's a need to say at Birchas Hashanim, so maybe in fact, we should do it at Birchas Hashanim.
To say what?
To say who?
No.
To say the same Talamatar at Birchas Hashanim. And in, you know, the same Talamatar. Okay? In Tammuz. It's a big Chiddush. Because Tammuz is not the time to be saying it.
Okay.
Are we not on the same page?
I must not have been, because...
Tell me what page
you
want.
Doing that in Tammuz?
Why would we be?
Yeah.
Because Nineveh is asking Rebbe, can we do it? Because Nineveh was desperate for rain.
Uh-huh.
They had a very, very deep drought. And so they inquired of Rebbe, and they said, please! No, they didn't. They just asked a question. Can we say it at Brachas Hashanim, or do we have to say it like everybody, every individual who would need rain? You know, if Beit Shemesh needed rain, so then the individuals in Beit Shemesh would ask for rain in Shomea Tefillah, in their personal prayers. But since we are Nineveh, Ir Gedola, so maybe we are different. We are considered like a Rabbim, in which case we should require it. And the Brisa seems to support that. In fact, they should be able to do it. So, that's a question on Rebbe. How can Rebbe paskin that they should say it at Shomea Tefillah when the Brisa says no? So the Gemara says, curious.
So this Nineveh is in Chutz Laretz, or is that not relevant?
Not relevant, but it is in Chutz Laretz.
So it's not relevant.
In Babylonia.
If it was a big city in Israel, it would be the same thing.
Same thing.
Why isn't Beit Shemesh just a big city?
125,000 residents.
That's as big as Nineveh.
Nineveh is big.
Irgdola, I know, and Maftion.
Very good, Maftion. That's the only place that says it. There's another place elsewhere that says in Nach that Nineveh was an Ir Gedola. No?
Not sure.
It is in Mafta Yonah, though? It's there, right?
100%.
Okay, 100%.
Nineveh Ir Gedola Lekim.
Okay, very good.
Where is Nineveh?
Somewhere in Babylonia.
The north.
Babylon.
Yonah is trying to go out by boat.
What?
Kategomorrah Torahs?
This is bizarre. I understood from the Gemara, David, that it wasn't just that they had a drought that year, that this is the normal situation.
It could be, yeah. It could be. It could be that in Tkufas Tammuz, Nineveh always needed it. It could be. Oh, very good. Very good. There's another one coming up later. You see, there's another... later,
there's so much more to do today.
Yeah, right? There's a lot more to do. Okay, fine, very good. I'm basking in the glory. Okay, so anyway.
So what does it do with Chutz Laretz? It happened to be Chutz Laretz.
It happened to be Chutz Laretz, but it's not relevant.
Because Yisrael Yitzhurim al Muslim is even the
fact. Correct. So anyway, it's a kasha on Rebbe. So interestingly, the Gemara gives a very interesting teretz, and it says, Amr Le, Masnisa Ramisa Le de Rebbe. You're going to ask a question on Rebbe from a Braisa? Rebbe Tanahu, Upalik. Rebbe's a Tana. You can argue with it. Pile Ploin. I don't understand this Gemara. I tried to look it up. I didn't see anybody who commented on this.
What's
the Gemara's having me now? Rebbe's a Tana. Of course he can say what he wants. And, why is Rebbe bound to the Braisa? I don't know. I don't know what to cut. Very often the Gemara will quote, like in a number of places in Shas, the Gemara will quote Rav, the opinion of Rav. And the Gemara will then ask a question on Rav, who's an Amora. And the Gemara will ask a question on Rav based on a Braisa. And the Gemara says, how can Rav say what he says when the Braisa contradicts him? And the Gemara will say, Rav hu Tanahu, hu Pulik. Rav is a Tana, and he can argue. Meaning, even though Rav is not a Tana, he is such an exceptional Talmud Chacham, Gadol, Shebegdolim, that he has the Koach of a Tana. But here, Rebbe is Mamash, a Tana. So what's the question on how can Rebbe contradict the Braisa? He's not! He's just another opinion. What's the prop? I don't know. I don't know what the Braisa Marvel problem is. The Gemara answers, which is the obvious answer, he's a Tana, and he can say what he wants. And he did. So anyway, the Gemara answer is Gemara's upshot is my haviyala. What is the halacha lemaisa? Rav Nachman amar bebirchas hashanim. Rav Sheshes amar b'shamei tefila. It's a machlokas Rav Nachman and Rav Sheshes whether we say it in birchas hashanim and b'shamei tefila. V'helchesa b'shamei tefila. We ended up doing a b'shamei tefila. So halacha lemaisa. Halacha lemaisa is outside of the time periods between Tishrei and Pesach, you are not supposed to be asking for rain in the same Talamat Levracha. However, the Shulchan Aruch does paskin that if you are living in such a land where they're desperate for rain, and you make a mistake and you say the same Talamatar, you do not have to be chozer. You do not have to be chozer. The thing the Shulchan Aruch says that you can, if you want, you can make another tefillah like a tefillah's nadava. But you don't have to. You're okay. Bidyevin.
It's only in Chutzlar.
Fascinating.
Only in Chutzlar.
Only in Chutzlar is what?
We live in a place where they would need rain in the summer.
I don't know if it's Tully in the place or if it's Tully in the Zman. Maybe we say that
it's a question like a place like Australia where the seasons are flipped.
Yeah.
Flipped. What goes on?
Yeah,
there.
But when is Australia's rainy season?
What are they
is
doing
it like
South
the
Africa,
east coast
Australia?
Of the U.S. where it's basically all year except for a couple of months? Or is it like here or California where it's basically from Cheshvan to Nisan?
I don't know.
I thought maybe Mark knew.
He
brought up the issue.
But he's not Australian. He's not Australian.
I know that, but I thought maybe he knew anyway. Since he brought it up.
Mark, you know?
The warm and the cold is enough, but when is the rain?
It doesn't matter.
I can't believe it's all Americans except for you.
I work
thought
with
it's only
Australian.
Because of practice
I could try to find out.
I used to know an Australian.
I
don't know that Australian anymore.
Everything is fair, it's Australian.
Anyway, back to the Mishnah.
Yeah.
The Mishnah had said... The Mishnah had said... okay... The last of the sets of fast, which is the seven, there are a few things that we do over here. We are no'al and esachanuyos. We lock up the stores.
Can you skip over the point of the maximum amount of fast?
The maximum amount of fast, what do you mean?
You said that previously there was 13, but then maybe if this is a classic, then there would be...
Yeah. That's, it ended up being a machlokas. You're saying, how do we paskin?
Do we just do it like sacred then?
How do we... Yeah. It was a machlokas, and there was no resolution. The Gemara seemed to come out saying, yeah, you keep on going. For any other fast aside from for rain, you keep on going until they answer you min hashamayim. That's the psak. Okay, but anyway, in the last set of fasts, we lock up these stores, and Bisheni on Monday when it starts to get dark, we are matin. The Mishnah says that we open the doors a crack. We don't totally swing the doors open. We don't want to make it a public thing, but we open the doors a crack so that people who need food can come in towards the Erev and they can sneak into the Makolet and get their food. But on Chamishi, we open up all day long. Now the question of the Gemara is going to be, let's see the Gemara. The Gemara says like this, B'sheni matin ez mechashecha. On Monday we open the doors a crack when it starts to get dark. And on Thursday, all day long because of Kavod Shabbos. The question is going to be, what does it mean, Chamishi Kol Hayom? Kol Hayom what? All day you open it a crack? Or all day you swing the doors open completely?
No, it's a market day. Thursday's a market day.
Okay, so do you want to see the Gemara or not? Okay. So
the question is also, is it just food stores or all stores?
What?
Another question, which is it just the food stores or all stores?
Food stores, yeah. Kol Habayit is closed.
Yeah.
Kol Habayit's closed. Yeah, I asked the guy, he's closed. During the seven fast, I asked Kol Habayit, he's closed.
You sure about that?
I'm very sure. You cannot get an iron. You cannot pick up your iron. Your microwave's going to have to wait. Your microgal. Okay.
What about Children's Place and Fox?
Fox is a Shiloh. Yeah.
Okay. So according to this, on Thursday, they partially open the doors the entire day.
Yes. Please don't.
No,
ask.
You could say
please
that they open them all the way.
Partially.
They open them
partially
all the way.
Partially part of the day.
Mati means partially.
So partially the
Mati
entire day.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. What's your question?
No question.
No. It's not open. Like it's not like
he's setting up the question.
Totally open. Okay. What is partially open? And partially, does that mean a crack all day? Or does that mean...
Seriously, you want to answer this question?
Partially. 32% of the door space.
32%, that's a psak. That's a psak, 32%. I think the Pavos can say that. Anyway, Ibailahu.
And you're comparing the stores that we have here today. They were open markets.
Ibailahu.
Yeah.
They asked the question, Heichi Katani, what does it mean in the Mishnah? Bebeiz matinim chashecha ubehei kol hayom ipnei kol haShabbos. Did the Mishnah mean to say that on Monday, on Monday we open it a crack when it gets dark, and on Thursday we open it a crack all day because of Kavod Shabbos? Odilma, or maybe b'sheni matin, on Monday we open it a crack, u'b'chamishi posken kol hayom kulo, and on Thursday we swing the doors completely open because of Kavod Shabbos. So the question is, what do we do on Thursday? Is it just opening a crack all day, or is it swinging the doors completely open all day long? Tashma. So says the Gemara, I'll bring you a brisa that's going to answer your question. The Tanya, because the brisa says b'sheni matin ad ha'erev. It should be Im Ha'erev. On Monday, when it gets dark, we start opening the doors a crack. U'b'chamishi posken kol hayom kulo. And on Thursday, we totally open the doors. So that's a raya. Mipnei kvod haShabbos. Right? The Brisa continues. Hayelo shnei psachim. If a guy had two openings, so it's not really so relevant nowadays, because even the big supermarkets like Osherad really only has one entrance. But in your major supermarkets in the States, you can have two entrances on either side of the supermarket. So if you have two openings, then poseach echad v'noel echad. We open one and we close one. So that's like some kind of heker that you still have, even though there's a Kavod Shabbos issue and the doors are open. Nevertheless, if you have two openings, there's no reason to open both of them. It's just you're making a heker. You're making some kind of like sign for people to know that even though you're allowed to come in, it's still a sad time and we need to be makir.
What about like doing deals like this in this store will be open and this in Rabbi Chemish Aleph, this best will be open? Like all the stores are going to be open?
Yeah. All the stores are open. Every makolet. What?
Food stores.
Every food store, yeah, not Kolabayit. We already passed.
I mean, all the food stores.
All the food stores, yes.
Holy Bagels. Curios.
Holy Bagels probably also.
Like
yeah, Holy Bagels.
Stores.
What? Yeah, the candy store in the Americas, that's also open.
We could slush it.
Very important. The slushies are very important.
Ice vanilla?
Yeah. That's how we commemorate these fast days. Anyway, the bracelet goes on and says, if you have two openings, then you only open one. And hayelo itzdaba keneged pischo, poseach kedarko ve'eno choshesh. If you have an itzdaba, which is like a platform, so you have basically, you have, instead of the supermarket coming right up to the street level, it's pulled back, and then you have this platform ahead of it. So since, in that case, anyway, it's not so the store is not so publicized because it's not smack out where the street is. So in that case, you'd be allowed to open it no matter what. And I guess you'd be allowed to open it even on Monday. L'chora. Is that what it's saying? Because on Thursday you can open it fully anyway. So it must be talking about
private,
on Monday.
Private home that opened that.
I'm guessing. Ah.
The Mishnah that shows that they would open up like a shed. Put a little table out there.
Right, right.
It's very common.
Right, right, that kind of thing. Okay. All right, the Mishnah goes on. It says, Avru elu velo nenu, mematin b'masu, matin b'binyan netiyah. After the seven fasts, so we said, you can't go any more than 13, so what do you do? What you do is, mematin b'masu, matin, we do less business. We try to close up business a little bit earlier. U'b'binyan b'netiyah, and also in building, and in planting, we refrain from doing that. The Gemara qualifies the Mishnah and says, Tana,
Bebinyan, binyan shel simcha. When we say that we refrain from building, that's binyan shel simcha. The unatiya, natiya shel simcha. When it comes to planting, so natiya shel simcha, we also do not, we refrain from natiya shel simcha. Ezehu binyan shel simcha. What does it mean, building for fun? Zehabona beis chasis levno. This is when you build a, I think it's like a, looks like a chuppah type of thing. Right, a gazebo type of thing for the chuppah. So if you're going to build that,
one time use or for him to live in.
I don't think it's you're not like buying a dira like they do in bet for their children. No,
build a dira.
I think you're building a gazebo for the chasna. What?
Like a party. We are buying a dira for them.
A who?
Like a party wall.
Yeah, right. Exactly. What are we saying?
They don't buy the dira. We buy the dira.
We buy the dira.
Okay, right.
So, Ezehu Natiya Shel Simcha. What's considered a Natiya Shel Simcha? Zehanotea Abornakin Shel Malachim. This is somebody who plants an Abornakin Shel Malachim. Now, in Abornakin Shel Malachim, there's a couple explanations to what this is. What they used to do is when a king had a child, so he would plant a tree for that child. And when the child got old enough to be able to take the throne, they would make the throne out of the tree that the father planted many years ago. So that's like an abornaki shell. That's planting a tree that's going to be used eventually for the child's for the child's throne. That's an example of something that is an atiyah shel simcha. But other people say that an abornaki shel malachim is a type of. It's like a type of orchard or trees that you use for shade, and you're kind of your matayel out by the shady trees. So that kind of thing where you're planting not for any purpose other than just to lay under and to enjoy, that would be considered natiya shel simcha. That's usur. But binyan that you need to do because you're a construction person and for crying out loud we need to finish mem shalosh already, that you can do. That you can do.
There?
What?
You moving to Mem Shalosh?
No, but it's I'm on Hayar Kon and it's getting out of hand.
Right?
I mean, it's not for now. It's here, but it's got to be
done. Losing Hayar Kon is a big balagan.
It's a balagan. It's a balagan.
I alone in Mark.
It's not
I
for
alone
now.
In
but what?
I alone in Hayar Kon.
I don't
know. I know people that moved from Hayar Kon. They moved out of Beit Shemesh because of the building.
Okay. There you go. That's another ride.
Blocked their view.
Okay.
It's going to be okay. It's going to be okay.
Yeah. I think I'm going to pull it out.
You're going to make it.
I'm going to make it. I'm going to pull through.
There's not more to do here. Wow. There's going to be a record cheer.
This is going to be a record cheer. You're going to be able to handle this? Have we scared you away?
His wife is on me?
Have we completely scared you away?
I don't have to clean them.
No, he doesn't have to clean. So I'm taking my time. I'm making as many jokes as I want.
All
right, we're going to finish up. Don't worry. This is going to flow. U'b'she'elo shalom. You're also not allowed to have she'elo shalom. Now, the Gemara qualifies this as well. Tana Rabbanan. Now, Mark, my question to you... We never asked. Mark, my question to you is, when the Gemara says Tana Rabbanan, how many Rabbanan are we talking about?
He's too serious. He's too serious.
Okay, all right. I think he is. I'll ask you next time. I think he is. Okay, what?
The only question on the test is that.
Okay. Chaverim... When it comes to the Talmid Chachamim, ain't Sheila Shalom B'nehem. They don't do any Sheila Shalom because they know at that time you're not supposed to be doing Sheila Shalom. But Amei Haaretz, right? The Amaratzim like myself, who are walking around on Tisha B'Av saying, "Hey, how's it going?" Guys like me, Sheshoalin, Machzirin Lehem B'Safarafa. So if you get such a person, you should answer them in a very low tone.
What?
B'Safarafa? What's
B'Safarafa? Safarafa. Safa, which is a language which is very soft. In very soft language. Ube kovid rosh. And you should lower your head when you're doing so. Behin misatfin v'yoshim ka'avelim. And everybody else is adorns themselves like avelim. You're dressed like an avel, ukemenudim, and like a person who's been excommunicated. K'bnei adam hanazufim l'makom. Like people who've been rejected by Hashem. Because in fact, the fact that we haven't had rain in so long, it's a rejection. It's a slap in the face. That's what Hashem is saying. So you have to act like it. Ad she'irachem aleim and Shamayim. And we do this until we finally get rachmanas from Shamayim. Amar Rabbi Lazar. Rabbi Lazar says, "Ein adam chashav rashai lipol apanav. An adam chashav is not allowed to fall on his face in anguish. Ela in kenen ki Yoshua ben Nun, unless he knows or people know that he is going to be answered like Yoshua ben Nun. Shenemar, as it says by Yoshua ben Nun." Vayomer Hashem al Yoshua, kum lacha, get up. Lama zatonofel panecha, why are you falling on your face? So we see that by Yoshua, he fell on his face because of the they had lost the war, so he was very upset about it. So he fell on his face. But an adam chashuv should not do this unless he knows he's going to be nana. You shouldn't be falling on your face like that. These outward displays of emotion are not effective. Va'amar Rabbi Lazar. Rabbi Lazar says, ein adam chashuv rashai lachgor sak. And Adam Chashev is not allowed to wear sackcloth, unless he's going to be answered like Yehoram ben Achav. Now, for those of you who are doing Nach Yomi, Yehoram ben Achav was actually a big Rasha. He was a Rasha Marusha. But in this particular instance, where there was mamish no food, there was a drought, and there was a big famine in the land. So much so that a woman came up to him and told him a very, very sad story of a case where a deal that she made with her fellow friend, and the friend said, you know, today let's cook your son and we'll eat your son, and tomorrow we'll cook and eat my son. And they cooked the one woman's son, and then the following day the woman said, okay, now it's your turn, and the woman said no. And Yehoram heard this, and he was very, very deeply saddened by the state of affairs. The people are mamish killing their own children.
Until he had no idea what was going on.
Until this time, it appears that the mamish was so
attack.
Right. He was so right.
He was so.
He was in his own world. He was a Russia, but at any rate, he was so upset about it.
He didn't know what was going on until he heard the story.
And Shenemar, it says in the pasuk, "Vayihi kishmo hamelach es divrei ha'isha." When he heard the woman say this, "Vayikras begadav," he tore up his clothing, "vhu over alachoma," and he passed by the wall where everybody was able to see him. "Vayar ha'am," and everybody saw the king. And there was sackcloth on his flesh. So he was, even as a king, and even as a rush as
he was walking on top of the wall.
I don't know if he was walking on the wall or if he was walking by the wall.
He's on the chum.
Yeah, I don't think Allah chum. I don't think he was on the wall.
Was of Yerushalayim?
I think it was like the
Shomron.
I think it was like, what?
Wasn't Yerushalayim. It was in Shomron. No. Okay.
What
okay.
Period of history is this? When was this?
Malachim. This is it's in the period of Malachim. It was this is Yehoram is before Uzziah, before Chizkiah. I mean, he was well before
Before
the Churban.
Right?
What?
It was after Achav, right?
Yeah, he was the son of Achav. Yehoram and Achav after Achav. Achav was the worst.
Wait, this
the
is
the worst.
National tragedies.
I thought Manasseh was the worst.
Yeah. National tragedies. What?
For like,
yeah. Well. Well, no,
that's what he did. He put a sackcloth on and went around his hand.
That is true. That is true.
So
it's a good question. And anyway, what is the Gemara's point over here? What do we really care? Why is the Gemara telling us the person shouldn't fall on his face, the person shouldn't rip up his clothes? The Gemara is saying stam. The Gemara is saying is that, and we'll see this. We'll see this more directly in the next daf on Tezvav, where the Mishnah opens by saying that we would place Afer Makla, we would place ashes on the foreheads during the last seven fasts, and where the people say to, where the Av Bezdin says to the people, don't tear up your clothing. It says by Ninveh, we don't want to tear up clothing. We want to, you know, Kiru Levavchem Va'al Bigdechem. Don't tear up your clothing, tear up your hearts. In other words, I think what the Gemara is saying over here is that these outward displays of mourning are really not relevant for the Hamon Am. Okay? Don't think that by ripping up your clothing you're making some kind of statement. It's superficial because you don't feel it. You don't really understand what it's like, you know, what it's like, and what the Rabbanim and what the Gedolim are going through during these times. Even though obviously you're suffering from a lack of rain, you don't really know what it's like. So ripping up your clothes is not a relevant response.
It's just a confusing ending, because on one hand we have Yidon Aram, that was the epitome of the way to deal with tragedy.
Yes,
being quiet and silent. On the other hand, we have Mordechai, who went around the street with sackcloth and ashes.
That's correct for a guy, right? Exactly.
So like. What's right?
What's the right?
Shot.
Yeah. So, Vayidom Aaron was commended for what he did, and Mordechai was for what he did. But the point of the Gemara is that an outward show of response for the Hamon Am, to show a response like that, is not appropriate. It's not appropriate.
What was this lady's point? Was it to complain to the king to get the guy?
She was talking to a friend.
She was commiserating with the king. She was saying, she was bringing a judgment to the king and saying, you should order this woman to cook her child.
That's what we're
on. She wasn't really talking to the king.
That was her point.
She wasn't talking to the king. I think she was talking to a friend, and the king overheard.
Are you sure?
I think so.
I thought that she came to the king with the judgment. She was trying to get the judgment. No?
Look at this. Look at the Nach Yomi.
Okay, I'll have to look at it. At any rate, we see from here.
Amar Rabbi Lazar.
I was right, right?
Yeah, 100%.
Okay, fine. Amar Rabbi Lazar, lo hakol b'kriya. Not everybody's going to be answered with kriya, with tearing up their clothes. Velo hakol b'nefila. Not everybody's going to be answered with nefila. You have to be very specific with your response as to how you deal with a particular tragedy. Moshe v'Aaron b'nefila. This week's parsha. Moshe v'Aaron b'nefilo. After they heard Meraglim, what did they do? They fell on their faces. Yehoshua v'Kalev b'kriya. And Yehoshua v'Kalev, they tore up their clothes. D'chsiv, as it says in the pasuk in this week's parsha, Mamish v'Yehoshua b'Nun v'Kalev b'nifuneh karu b'gdeihem.
It didn't help.
Sorry, I didn't say Moshe Aaron, but you pull Moshe v'Aaron.
You said the second pasuk, not the first.
Fine. Yehoshua b'Nun v'Kalev b'nifuneh karu b'gdeihem. So they ripped up their clothes. Maskev la Rav Zeira v'itim Rabbi Shmuel bar Nachmani iha v'ksiv Yehoshua. Wait a minute. You want to tell me that Moshe fell on his face and Yehoshua did not? Yehoshua ripped up his clothes. No. If it had said in the pasuk Vayipol Moshe al panav, and then Yehoshua benun v'kalav benifuneh karu b'gdeihem, then I understand in k'deka amar. Then you're right. Moshe did one thing, Yehoshua did another. But hashad dechsev v'Yehoshua, meaning the very next pasuk says not just Moshe fell on his face, but vi Yehoshua and Yehoshua. So Vav is Mosif al Inyan Rishon. Vav is both. Hava Ha'avin. He did both. So we see that
Yehoshua.
Apparently, Yehoshua both fell on his face.
But not Kalev also, just Yehoshua.
Why is it so relevant what Yeshua did? I don't know. But at any rate, the Gemara makes a point of saying that Yeshua, in fact, did fall on his face as well as rip up his clothing.
He was the only one that did both, Yeshua.
Right. According to this,
Moshe Aaron didn't.
Moshe Aaron did not do both. They just fell on their face.
That was enough. They were on a high level.
Right. They were on a higher level, different level. Whatever.
High level, you don't have to do so much.
At any rate, we're going
to
stop here and we will pick up. What?
Well, I'm not cleaning tonight.
We're not going to finish the parak now. We're going to leave it.
This is very easy to need permission. So
submission. So I don't know. This is a long shear, 9:24. If you do the math, what did it come out to? 45 minutes? Exactly. 42 minutes. This is a very, very fast shear.